study in a new book of the Bible, the book of Philippians. Since next week is our Christmas Eve service, we will have it, of course, on Christmas Eve. That will be Tuesday night. Because of that, we will not meet on Thursday night next week. So we're going to start this book, then put it down and come back in 2 weeks. So tonight, what I want to give you is just some introductory material to the book of Philippians. We will pick this book up in earnest in 2 weeks' time. So let's talk a little bit about the book of Philippians tonight. Some time ago, we handed out these sheets, you may recall, that kind of give you brief little encapsulations of the books of the Bible. Under the book of Philippians, you find it described this way: life and joy in Christ. When you study the book of Philippians, what should you anticipate coming away from it with? Number one, a better understanding of what it means to be in Christ. That is a theme that is repeated over and over in this book. And number two, the joy that being in Christ brings to our hearts. Tonight's message is called The Book of Joy, because that's primarily for me what this book is about. This is one of the prison epistles that Paul wrote. He wrote it from a Roman jail cell. It is one of the most personal letters that he wrote. In this letter, he thanks a church that has been very supportive of his ministry over the years. As he writes to them from a Roman jail, they send a man named Epaphroditus with a gift to Paul to make his time in jail more tolerable. Epaphroditus almost dies while he's visiting Paul. Paul writes a thank you letter to the church and sends it back with Epaphroditus when he has regained his wellness. This book is that letter. That's why it's so personal. It's a thank you to a church. Very personal, very practical. It also identifies some problems in that church. Problems like in chapter 2, it mentions certain rivalries and selfish ambitions that are taking place in that fellowship. He addresses that. There are those people called the Judaizers who are trying to convince people that in order to worship the Jewish Messiah, you must become a practitioner of the Jewish religion. He deals with that in chapter 3. There are those in that church who would take their liberty in Christ and turn it into license. He deals with that in chapter 3 at all. But primarily, it is a letter written from Paul to people he regards as his friends. And that will become obvious as we work our way through these first 6 verses tonight. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1. Timothy had helped Paul to establish this church in Philippi. So he mentions Timothy in the introduction to the book. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. Please notice that he identifies himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. In other less personal letters, for example, his letters to the church at Corinth, which were primarily letters of correction, he identified himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ, because he was writing to them from a standpoint of authority to address issues in their fellowship. Now he's writing as a friend, someone who has served them in the past. So he identifies himself and Timothy as bond slaves, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. There's that phrase, in Christ Jesus. We're going to run into that many times throughout this book. Don't forget, this is a book that not only teaches us about joy in our Christian life, but about what it means to be in Christ Jesus. Paul uses one of his familiar favorite greetings here in verse 2. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace always come in that order. First, the grace of God enters your life as the Holy Spirit woos you and draws you to Jesus. That is something we don't deserve, but God gives it to us anyways. It is the grace of God that calls us into fellowship with the Father. Once you come to the Father through your faith in Jesus, then you begin to experience what is known as peace with God. So that is always the order these two appear in. First the grace of God, then the peace of God. Paul writes further in verse 3 and says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Literally, that works as a translation. But there is an even more literal sense. What Paul actually wrote goes like this. All my remembrances of you cause me to thank God. What a sweet thing to say. Every time I think of you, I have to thank God that he placed you in my life. I think Paul must have truly had a pastor's heart to say something like that. When I think of you, I have to thank God for you all that God put you in my life. Every remembrance causes me to thank God for you all. Always, in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. There's the other key concept in the book of Philippians, joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. More than anything, Paul appreciated the fellowship he had with this sweet group of believers. And every time he thought of them, he thanked God for them and prayed for them. Verse 6 is the heart of what I wanted to talk about tonight. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. When he says being confident of this very thing, literally what he wrote was, since I am confident of this very thing. What thing? That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What joy that brings to our hearts to have that assurance. This letter comes to us not just from the pen of Paul, but from the mind of the Holy Spirit. It presents us with the heart of the Father towards us. When you came to the Father by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, on that very day, he began a good work in you. A work of changing you, of causing you to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice how different you have become since you met Jesus. That is the work that he began in you. The Father's promise, his assurance to our heart, is that when he starts something, he will finish it. And he says, since I've started a good thing in you, trust in me that I will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. When the Lord returns for his church, that work will be finished. Until then, he will not cease to work in in your heart and in your life. Do you ever look at your life and despair that God is doing anything in you at all? For me, that is a very familiar feeling, because I so often let God down. But the Father's love to you is not dependent on how you perform for Him. It is dependent on His character and nature of love. He loves you because that is what God does. You cannot perform to make God love you more. You cannot fail God to cause Him to love you less. He already loves you as much as He possibly can. You cannot change that by your performance. Whether good performance or bad performance, you are already embedded in the Father's heart. If sometimes you despair of ever reaching that state of perfection that God has promised you will reach, then here is word to you tonight. He says, the good work that I began in you the day you first believed in me, that work is me, not you. Fail me as many times as you want. I will not fail you. I will complete that which I have begun. It never depended on you. It only depends on your Father in heaven. And He says, once I start a job, I always finish it. That's where the joy comes from. It is from that knowledge that I am in Christ and that He will finish the work He has begun in me. God began His work in me 25 years ago. It's been a long slog for Him, I'm sure. But He has never given up on me once. He called me to pastor a church. I didn't know it would be this one. But now that I'm here, every time I think of you guys, I give thanks to Him for you all in my life. What a good thing He has done. His promise to me is that the work that He has set before me, I am not going home until that work is complete. He will finish what He started in me. He will not let my life come to an end before He has finished what He means to do in my heart and in my life. That goes for you as well. That's where the joy comes from. It is from knowing that God will complete the work He has started in me. That gives me joy. It's possible to serve God without any joy at all. Haven't you known people like that? Haven't you met people who have no joy in them whatsoever? And yet, you know they're saved. They've just been baptized, so to speak, in lemon juice instead of water. They have kind of a sour outlook. No joy in their lives. It's possible to go through your whole Christian life without joy. That is not the Father's plan for you. God did not bring me here to start something that He is not going to finish. He did not marry me to a good woman to begin something that He doesn't intend to finish. That's where my joy comes from. Knowing that He's going to finish what He started in my life. That means that I am still here because there is work to be done in me and through me. That gives me a joy. My Father is at work in my life because I am in Christ. That truth will obtain until I have been called home. Then the work will be done, but I'm not going home until then. That fills me with joy to know that what God started in my heart, He's going to finish. That the work that He's given me to do here on this planet, I will be able to complete successfully before I leave. Paul wrote about that, and he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In other words, as long as Paul was alive, he got to die to himself every day and live for other people. That's a lesson God is still teaching me. I can guarantee you, I haven't learned it yet. I am good at dying to others, not so good at dying to self. That means God has some work to do in me. He's not finished. It can fill your heart with joy to realize that if God started something in you, it is not a futile endeavor. He is going to finish what he started in you. That's a promise from the heart of the Father to your heart. God says, I started something with you. I am going to finish it, and I will succeed at what I do. I will accomplish my purpose for your life in your heart. See, there's the asking stick. That's how it works. Beware. I guess I should beware first, eh? But that is the source of my joy, to be in Christ and to know that what the Father has started, he will finish. I will make it and become that person that he saw me as being from before the foundation of the earth. He will succeed in my life and change the things in me that he wants to change. I'm going to make it. That fills me with joy. That means that I can fulfill my service here to you all with joy. No lemonade baptism for me. But I know my Father will do what he set out to do in my life. I know he will do what he set out to do in your life. That fills me with joy as well. I have the highest expectations for what God will do in your life because of this promise, Philippians 1:6. Knowing that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will make it because of this verse. God says you will make it. And God's word has never failed once in human history. It does not fall to the ground, but it is always fulfilled. You're going to make it. That's my great hope for you and my great joy in you. You are going to make it. God says you are. I have the highest hopes for you all, as well as the highest hopes for myself. That is my joy. I receive that joy simply for being in Christ. Those two themes will be repeated over and over in this book when you have finished the book of Philippians with me. Many weeks from now, you should become experts at knowing what it means to be in Christ. And you should become expert at living in joy. Why? Because you are going to make it. Why? Because God says you are. That's why. That's my hope for you. My hope for myself. That's my great joy for me and for you. That causes me to give thanks upon every remembrance of you. Next week, we will meet on Tuesday and have a special Christmas message. No Thursday meeting that week. But the week after, we will return to the book of Philippians and begin to study what it means to be in Christ and what it means to be filled with joy. You will receive your PhD in joy upon completion of this book. God says he's going to get you there. And when Jesus says, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. Guess where you're going? You are going to the other side because Jesus says he will take you there. That is our hope and our trust and our confidence and our joy. Be assured, the work that God began in you is heading towards completion. You will make it. God says so. I echo his sentiments and say, amen. You are on your way. I have great joy for you and great confidence in you. You will get there. No one less than Jesus Christ says so. And I say so too. And the Askin Stick says so too. So, have great confidence. Have great joy. You are going to make it. Father, we are here tonight to say thank you, God, for filling our hearts with a blessed assurance of your love and its power. We are going to make it because you say we are. And as long as we are in Christ, as long as we have your power in our lives, we will always make it and make it filled with joy. Thank you for your assurance to our hearts. We bless you now in Jesus' name. And thank you so much for what you are doing in our lives, changing us from glory to glory into that same image of your Son. Bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
How many of you guys know that Steve Green song? I really tried to get it. You know, he who began a good work in you. Couldn't get it worked up. So...